So we're going to start maybe briefly with some of the interesting questions that come up in the Beis Yosef and Sif Beis, but then hopefully we'll have a chance to start actual discussion of Bishul, which we haven't done yet, in Sif Gimel. So the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tezma Beis says, Amar of Yitzchak Bar Ada, Amar Rav, Hashohit L'chol B'Shabbos, Asur L'Bari. I'm the Ashul Chol B'Shabbos, Motel Labari. My time. If you shecht for Chol on Shabbos, so we're obviously dealing with the Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, so it's Mutter. And now you want to know, could the bar eat it? No. But if you're Mavashel, it's Mutter, my time. So the answer is that with respect to, and the Pashup Shad is, we're talking about an issue of Muksa here, exclusively, Sefer Tumah notwithstanding, possibly. So when it comes to raw food, so raw food is Rawi Lachos. We talked about this extensively in the summer in terms of Hilchos Muksa, but at least in those days you could eat raw meat.
What about fish?
So it wasn't muksa. You should know, I asked that shayla last night. A variation of that shayla. It was a question. It was a crazy. I hate these questions. But it was someone who was going on a cruise and wanted to know about having the non-Jews cook salmon for them. And could you say that salmon is nechal k'mo shuchai, so it's not bishalakum and the like. Anyway, but Let's not go there right now. Water would definitely make up because it's nechal k'mo shuchai, but not now. Not talking about Shabbos. Yes. Talking about Hilchos Bishalakum. But I guess it's at another time. So the question is like this. So the meat, what isn't muksa, but obviously a live animal is muksa, and therefore it's aser. Fine. Rav Papa says pamish hashochi mutter. For example, if it was a chole mibod yom, so you're expecting that there was going to be a possible need to shech the animal. And Rav Dimi says hilchosa hashochi l'chol b'shabes mutter lebari b'umtza. So if you shech for the chole, then he could actually eat the meat as long as he is willing to swallow it raw. Why? Because kevan diyeshel kazai is basa below shchita, so kishachet adaita dekola kashachet. There's no concern. You're not going to do extra. You're not going to do anything extra just because the guy is, you're going to do one shchita. You can do one shchita only. This is an interesting question, by the way, not for now, but we're going to see in a second, especially the Ron holds riboy shiurim in Nisr D'Oraisa on Shabbos, right? If I needed to cook 5 ounces and I cook 8 ounces, that's an Nisr D'Oraisa. Would you say that shechting a bigger animal is also usher? The answer is clearly not. Right? Why should it be a difference? So the answer is because the Isser is Natil's Neshama. There's still only one Neshama. Bigger animals, bigger neshama. So. Okay. Wow. So. Anyway. So, but when it comes to cooking, the Gemara says, or at least the Rav Dimi says, that there's a concern. Why shemiyarbe bishvilo? So you're. So we don't allow the bari to eat the extra food that was made for the chola, because we're concerned that if we allow him to do this, so then maybe he'll cook a little extra for the bari. Whereas in the case of shchita, you're not going to do extra for the bari. So therefore, it's mutter. Now, would Rav Dimi only matir if it was a chola mibod yom? In other words, why is Rav Dimi not concerned with muksa? So Rashi says over there that it's only when he was sick mibod yom. In other words, if this is a random sickness, all of a sudden a guy gets sick, so then even he would agree that you can't eat the meat that was slaughtered for the chola, because the meat's muksa. And we're talking about where there's no muksa issue, because you anticipated having to slaughter for this chola. The Rosh says no, even if he was chola on Shabbos, because we paskin like Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says that the only time there's muktzah is when there's two things, right? When it's dachinu b'yadayim and it's eino ra'oi. So now we have to ask Akasha both on both views, right? Again, we have Rashi's view, we have the Rush's view. So first let's talk about Rashi's view. Again, Rashi's view is that it's only usher if he was sick mi va'od yom. So what about the Rosh Hashanah? Don't we say that there's no muksa unless you're dachinu b'yadayim, right? Velo chazi, like grogos v'tzimukim. Grogos v'tzimukim, dachinu b'yadayim. I put my grapes up to the roof. Lo chazi, because in the process of turning from grapes into raisins, it's mamish gross. Good. So that's what the Gemara says. There's only muksa for grogos v'tzimukim, or also we know say that even for behema, you're asach daite minei, because it's dachinu b'yadayim, or it's like dachinu b'yadayim. Because it's like mechuber, it's not like grogros, right? Again, this is all stuff we did over the summer, so we're using this as a little bit of an excuse to chazer, because it's really in our simon. In other words, when you go ahead and you don't decide not to shecht your cow this Shabbos, so it's like dachinu b'yadayim. Rashi says such a thing by all things that are connected to the ground, and we'll say also for all living animals. So that's one interpretation of Rashi. In other words, Rashi requires muksa machmasis or plus dachinu b'yadayim, but my decision not to harvest this in the case of plants, or my decision not to slaughter this in the case of animals, is actually basically the same as dachinu b'yadayim. Then we saw over the summer the Baal HaMor, also quoted here in the Beis Yosef, that says, no, you don't even need dachinu b'yadayim. Reb Shimon agrees to muksa machmasis or when you're mesiach das, even without actually being dachinu b'yadayim. Okay, so that's the first school of thought. The Rashi, Baal HaMor Shita, that animals are muksa, slaughtered animals remain muksa. The only time Reb Shimon would allow you to eat the meat is when you anticipated having to slaughter the animal on Shabbos because there was a chol mibod yom. The Rush, again, disagreed. The Rush says, no, some chol gets sick in the middle of Shabbos. You have to slaughter for him. There's extra meat. Give it to the bari. No problem. Not muksa. Right? Now, according to him, we have to ask the opposite question. Why is it different than mechuber, right? Doesn't Reb Shimon agree that if, let's say, a guy brings a gift to a Jew, we talked about this last time, and this is the type of fruit that might have been on the tree at the beginning of Shabbos, so it's aser. So you see Reb Shimon agrees to muksa like this. Is there any difference between a plant and an animal? So here, the Beis Yosef has a couple of possibilities. We'll just mention two of them. Number one, he says, maybe actually there is no difference. And according to Reb Shimon, actually, there's no issue of muksa. If a guy goes ahead and plucks a banana and brings it to you, you could eat it. Alts muksa. The only reason why the Gemara says usher is like one answer in Tosfos, because we're afraid that you're going to do it. But there's no muksa issue, actually. And that's why it's mutter. That's why the animal that's slaughtered is muksa. And that's why the banana's... That's where the animal that's slaughtered isn't muksa, and the banana also wouldn't be muksa except for a special gzeira. Alternatively, the Beis Yosef has this very interesting idea, which is we're going to distinguish between plants, like plucking the banana, versus shchita. Why? Everybody knows how to pluck an apple, right? Even you, Aaron. But it's not very easy to shecht. Not everybody knows Hilchos Shechita. And even if you don't know Hilchos Shechita, maybe your knife isn't checked. And you need to take it to a chacham. And even if it is checked, you know, it takes a while and it's a whole enterprise. And the fact that you didn't slaughter this on Erev Shabbos doesn't show that you're really uninterested. Maybe you theoretically are interested, you just didn't get around to it. So therefore, it's not really dechinu b'yadayim, and it's not muksa. Mashen kein. It takes 1 second to pull that apple down, and it doesn't need any expertise. And the fact, therefore, that I didn't do it shows, I'm really uninterested. Good. So this is a machlokas. How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rush, and others lahakel. Again, the guy shechts the animal for the chayla on Shabbos. Extra meat, enjoy. Assuming you like raw meat. And that's a double chiddush, right? Chiddush number one is, in general, we don't say meat is muksa. And chiddush number two is, even though it was shechted on Shabbos, we still don't say that the meat is muksa. And the only time we're machmir is by mevashel, if you cook for a guy, if you cook for the chola, and that's because of a concern of gzeira shema yarbe b'shvilo. So let's talk a little bit about that question of gzeira shema. And again, in the summer we discussed, so I'm not going to go back to it, whether things have changed nowadays. Can you still treat raw meat as non-muksa? Or maybe nowadays nobody eats raw meat, so therefore it would be muksa because it's lochazi. It's not really chazi lochos anymore. So ayin shem. But let's talk about this other gzeira that comes up over here. Again, why it's aser when you cook, and that's because of gzeira shema yarbe b'shvilo. So there's a very relevant gemara here that the Beis Yosef quotes, as we'll see, around the Rashba, and that's a gemara menachos. Gemara menachos says the following shayla. Let's say you have a chola, and the chola needs to grow gross. And you have two options. Option A is to pluck two grow gross from two different branches. Option B is to cut off one branch that has three grow gross on it. So what's better, right? Do you say, cut off, do one maisa, even though you're going to end up with an extra gogeres, that's less melacha, or no, would it be better to do the two maisim, but not have anything extra? Pluck the two grogros on the two separate branches. That is the suffik of the Gemara. To put it differently, the question is, are we marbe b'shurim or marbe b'chatichos? Fine. So the Gemara says better to be marbe for chatichos, and therefore pluck the branch, cut the branch that has three grogros on it. But it is very clear, though, that if you had one branch with two grogros on it, it would certainly be aser to cut the branch that has three grogros on it. Right? In other words, if my choice was between one branch with two versus one branch with three, clearly it'd be aser to take the branch with three. Now, that seems reasonable. But the Rishonim all ask, that's against a different Gemara, Gemara Bei Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where we basically say that there's no iser of riboy shiurim on yantif. Again, the details of that sugya are beyond the scope of today's discussion, but the basic idea is that if you cook a pot, you know, with, I don't know, 5 ounces of meat, and you only needed for yantif 3 ounces of meat, so that's not a violation. So what's the difference? In other words, l'chor, that's exactly the same thing as cutting the branch with three grogros when you only need two. So again, the Gemara Menachos says when you cut the branch of ribui shurim is aser. The Gemara Beya says it's not aser. How do you resolve that? So the Rashba and Beya asked this question, and he says that the difference is that Shabbos is an iser skila, so we're more machmir. Yantif's only a lav, so we're more mekel. In other words, basically, be'etzem, there is no chiluk on a fundamental level. And ribui shiurim is never aser midaraisa. And they were matir, machmir for ribui shiurim on Shabbos, midrabanan, but they weren't machmir on yantif. Now, our Gemara that we just started with in Chulin is a little difficult for him, because what did our Gemara say? If you're mevashel for a chayla for Shabbos, a bari can't eat it. Why? And what if you were Mabu Shilo? Is that Nisa Deraisa? No. Okay. So maybe it's Xeil Xeir, you know, it won't be the last, the first Xeir Xeir, the last Xeir Xeir. Maybe there are other answers. But basically, it's even though our Gemara says that you can't, the Bari can't eat it, Xeir Shemiyabu Bishvilo, that shouldn't be understood as saying, but if you were Mabu Bishvilo, it's a Nisa Deraisa. No, it's not a Nisa Deraisa. You see that from the Gemara Beya. Good. Now, the kasha on this mahalich, as the Ran asks on the Rashba, again, all quoted in our Beis Yosef, is how do you understand the Gemara Menachos? Because according to the Gemara in, according to the Rambam, like the Gemara Menachos, like we said, says pashat that if there was one branch with two and one branch with three, it's also to take the branch with three. Not only that, but ad kedei kach, that we think we have a suffix, maybe it's even better to do two separate chatichos than to take the one with three. Now, if you say taking the one with three would be nisr deraisa, if you say ribui shiurim is nisr deraisa, we'll see in a moment, that's the view of the Ran. So then I understand the suffix very good, right? which is better, Ribui Shurim, one Isser Daraisa, versus Ribui Chatichos, another Isser Daraisa. Yesh Lachor. The Gemara eventually concludes Ribui Shurim is better, less severe than Ribui Chatichos. I understand both studies. It's a glatta shaila. But if you say, like the Rashba, that Ribui Shurim is only Nisid Rabbanan, what kind of shaila is that? Oh, I have a choice. Do I do a Nisid Daraisa or Nisid Rabbanan? Which is better? Good shaila. That's not a good shaila. So the Ran says the Gemara Menachos is mamish against the Rashba. So what would the Rashba say? Maybe, I don't know, maybe that Rashba would say that's the goof of the shaila of the Gemara, and when the Gemara concludes that better to cut the one with three, in other words, the one with three, that's because Ribui Shurim is only Aser D'Rabbanan, and that's why we picked that. Maybe. Maybe another possibility is, and the Ran almost tells you that this would be the answer for the Rashba, as you'll see in a moment, that any time you do, we said we're going to get back to Pikuach Nefesh. So this is a very important question to think about in terms of the world of Pikuach Nefesh, which is, when you do Melacha for Pikuach Nefesh, is it Melacha? It's Melacha that the Torah permits, of course, but is it Melacha, or it's not Melacha at all? So this is not exactly the same as Hutra D'Chuya. We're going to get back to Hutra D'Chuya in a moment, because that's the Ran is actually going to bring that up. There's a very famous shaila. The famous shaila is, if you have someone who needs meat on Shabbos, so you have two options, basically. You could give them nevela, or you could shecht them meat and give them kosher meat. Which is better? So maybe I'll say nevela is much better. Why? Nevela is a lav, and shechita is in a skila. Or maybe you'll say, sort of for technical reasons, like this is what the Rush says in the end, you know, maybe you should be Mechal Shabbos, because like the Chol is going to be really grossed out if you tell him this is non-kosher meat. He's not going to get better. He's going to be repulsed. Fine. But those are basically saying fundamentally that, or, you know, maybe you could clear also that when it's Shechita, it's only one Isser, but here it's an Isser for every bite. All those are sort of answers that saying fundamentally, though, you're right, that the Isser Skila should be more Chamor than the Isser Lav. But there are other Rishonim who disagree. And there's two variations of this, both quoted in the Rush over there. It's the Rush towards the end of Yuma. I'll give you the exact Mar Makom if you want. It's I don't know. It's here somewhere. That the Rush says two things remarkable. First, the point that you brought up is the Ravid. This is an incredible Ravid, right? The Ravid says no better to do the Shechita. Ki iser Shabbos kfar nitan lidachos ba'avara ubevishal. Well, you're going to have to mechal Shabbos anyway, right? You're going to have to cook this meat. No, as ma. I'm going to have to light the fire and cook the meat, right? Even if I give them the nevela, I'm not going to give them raw nevela, right? So I'm going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. So once you're in Mechal Shabbos twice, Chaperayin a third time. Now, if you learn like that, I'm going to say the second thing in the Ravid is even more astounding, but just we'll stop before the really strange thing that the Ravid says. So then you could already start understanding, if the Rashba learned like this, why it would make a lot of sense. In other words, are you doing an extra Chilul Shabbos when, especially once you're going ahead and you're doing the Shechita Navara by doing, sorry, you're doing the Havara Nebishal when you also do the Shechita? No. So don't tell me that Isser Shabbos is more Chamor than Isser Skila. It's not like you're doing Chilul Shabbos when you do an extra Melacha. Huh. So maybe, when you go ahead and you take, when you do the two cuts for the Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana, right? Because there's two, again, he needs two grosses. So the Havamin of the Gemara, you do two. So the Ran's Kasha was, you have a Shaila. On the one hand, you have Isser Deraisa, two cuts, versus Isser Drabanan, Ribui Shurim. Is that the right way to look at it? It's not Isser Deraisa versus Isser Drabanan. It's nothing versus non-Chilul Shabbos versus Isser D'Rabbanan. Because what you do, the melacha you do for Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana, And especially when, anyway, you have to be Mechal Shabbos for that Chol HaSheish Bo Sakana, is not Melacha.
What's the Mashiach then?
Well, but, so you could say that, or you could say no, because still there's an inyan to be mimait, and absent the Chil Shabbos, this would be worse, right? And so, and moreover here, anyway you're doing, in other words, you could start, very easily come up with Sfaros Lakan or Lakan, but it's not the way that the Ran saying, oh, this is a Shailah Deraisa Rabbanan. The Ravid goes even further. The Ravid says, he says, moreover, Shechita is better, because Shaloye katan echad b'sof olam. You're gonna be having Chal Shabbos anyway for some kid in Kathmandu, you know, who's sick. Oh, well, that now what does that have to do with this? The yisod is that so maybe we won't get into this yisod, but very good. It's not Shabbos.
Yeah.
Good. I was Zoycha to meet Rabbi Twersky Shir for Beah when he talked about this. My first year in YU. So.
It's an inside joke. I don't get it.
It's okay. It's okay. You're a loss. So, now the Rush then continues. He quotes the Maharam. And the Maharam says also, better to do Shechita without doing the nevela, and he says because basically Chil Shabbos is hutra, and he compares it to melacha on yantif, right? Just like melachas ochel nefesh on yantif is hutra, so too Shabbos is hutra, and therefore it's better. Okay, now. So if the Rush were to hold like either of those two views, the Rush, the Ravid, or the Maharam, then the Ran's Kasha is answered. And as I said, the Ran already sort of even hands you that answer on a golden platter, because the Ran proves in this Gemara in Menachos that, as we said, Ribui Shurim is an Isha Deraisa, and he says, why is that? Because Chil Shabbos is Dechuya. Dechuya. So, saying, I would agree if Chil Shabbos is Hutra, then I could understand that then this Kasha would not be a Kasha on the Rashba. Now, the only problem with this is that the Rashba does seem to actually hold the Chuya. This will preclude the Maharam. It won't necessarily preclude the Ravid. In fact, it's actually sort of interesting historically. Maybe you should look into this. But they told the Rashba about this Maharam. It's quoted, by the way, this Rashba in Shuva. It's Chelak Alasim in Tafresh Peites. It's quoted in Beis Yosef in Shimchav Ches Osia Dalet. And basically, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but basically they told the Rashba about this Shuva the Maharam that the Rush is also quoting. And he doesn't like this answer so much. And he gives a different answer. He says, "Shelo asr Torah melachas b'Shabbos, etzel chol v'shoch melchol b'Shabbos k'derech shochten anu l'chmi yantif." Av aleman de amar dechuya hi machil nosa nevela ve'en anu overin lishchot lo b'makom sheish lo basar lechol lo navar anu v'lo nidche Shabbos u'kmedum eli shehi halacha dechuya v'lo hotra. So the Rashba over there says that the question of whether Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya is the same Shaila as it is by Avoda, right? We know Tuma, there's a debate in the Gemara whether Tuma is Hutra B'tzibor or Dechuya B'tzibor. And he says, I think that the halacha is that. Now what's a nafgamina, for example? Let's say you need to bring a carbon Tuma, a carbon Tzibor, really it's Talim, carbon Shkavolo's man. And the tzibor is tameh. So the machlokas and gemara, whether it's hutra or dechuya. The nafkamina, the gemara says two nafkaminas. One is mehadrin achar tahorin. In other words, if you hold tameh hutra tzibor, even though I hear like epist, there's one tar kohen, you know, up, you know, in har nof. If it's hutra, you don't have to go try to find it. If it's dechuya, mehadrin achar tahorin, you should try to find it. The other nafkamina is, do you need retweet sits? If the old tzotra, you don't need ritzoi. If you hold the chuya, you do. You need a ritzoi for the tzotra. So anyway, the Rashba seems to conclude, not strongly, but weakly, kumadumali, the Rashba says that it's the chuya. So using the Maram to answer up for the Rashba isn't going to be great. You still might be able to learn to ride it. Now, I can tell you an extra knach, which when we get back to the Indian of Pikuach Nefesh, I'm going to argue, and it's against the Pashtus of the Ran. Pashtus of the Ran is, like we said, the Ran says it's Dechuya, this is a Shail of Dechuya, once you hold Dechuya, Ribu Yishurim, and Ribu Yishurim is an Isser Deraisa. Fine. Pashtus Pshat in the Ran is that if you do Melacha for Chola Sheh Yeshbo Sakana, even though it's Dechuya, so it is Melacha that the Torah permits. It's not Hutra, it's not non-Melacha. I think that even Iran would agree that it's non-Melacha. And even though you hold pikuach nefesh is dechuya, which means mehadrina nachar tahirim, you have to try to avoid it, right? You have to try to avoid pikuach nefesh. You have to try to avoid chilul Shabbos. It's considered dechuya. But let's say you didn't. It's not pikuach nefesh. It's not, you weren't mechal Shabbos. It's wrong. I'll give you a mashal. Let's go back to carbon, right? Let's say you weren't mahadar achar torim for carbon tzibor, and we pass in tumah dechuya of tzibor. So is the carbon kasher? It is. Carbon's still kasher. You just didn't do what you were supposed to do, which is mahadar achar torim. I think the same thing is true for chol Shabbos. You should try to avoid unnecessary chilul where there's zero chance of additional pikuach nefesh. If you didn't, since the malacha you did was still for chol sheyesh bo sakana, it's not chol Shabbos. You just violated the halacha that you should try to be memait in chol. But anyway, now I'm a little really off tangent. Anyway, the point is that the Ran over here says that ribui shurim is aser on Shabbos, and that it's dechuya, pikuach nefesh is dechuya, and the like. And that is the discussion over here. And the Beis Yosef thinks probably that the Ran is correct here against the Rashba. The Beis Yosef over here doesn't actually, is in Machria, but he quotes it Bekitzer, and then he cites his discussion elsewhere. Good. So that's one very important discussion at the beginning of our sermon. Now turning on to the topic of Bishul, we'll make one small general ha'ara about the nature of the Isser Bishul, which is a question we're going to come back to again and again. But let's start with the Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, which since we're learning Kol Gadol, you probably saw first. So the Gemara is a very interesting shaila. Ha'iman d'shada sichsa la'suna chayv mishum mevashal. So you throw a peg into the fire, not to burn, but basically to dry out. Your chayv mishum mevashel pshita. I don't throw it mamish in the fire. Anyway, ma'od seima l'shurei mana kamachavein kamash malan demir parafi vader kamet. Meaning to say, you might have thought, this is the way Rashi reads it, simple lashon of the Gemara, that the machayev, that you're just hardening it. And if you harden something, that's not mevashel. Kamash malan, no, that first it softens, and then it hardens. Mirpa rafi v'hadar kamet. Therefore, it is a violation of bishul. So first of all, you see from here that bishul isn't limited to foods. Now that's pretty obvious to us, because actually bishul, according to Rashi, comes from the samimanim of the Mishkan, which also were in foods. Okay, so that's not such a chiddush. Certainly, the majority of our discussion over here is going to be about bishul of foods, but it is shayach bishul for not foods, non-foods, as you see from that Gemara. Now, the Gemara does seem to be saying, as the way Rashi reads it, is that bishul is all about what? Softening. Right? What is bishul? Softening through heat or the like. And therefore, if the peg just got harder, then it wouldn't be bishul. But because first it gets softer and then it gets harder, then it is bishul. Now, it's a little strange. First of all, like, Why should it make any difference? And second of all, because there are lots of cases where we say you're doing bishul, where it seems to only be hardening, right? A mashal, hard-boiled egg, right? Hard-boiled egg, you take off the egg, it start, right? It's getting harder throughout, or for that matter, baking, right? You start off with this batter. You take a batter, liquidish type of thing, you put it in a pan, you put it in the oven, and out pops a nice, hard, firm, robust cake, right? So that seems to be a process of hardening. Yet the Gemara, according to Rashi, seems to be telling us that bishul is defined by softening. This sugya, by the way, is quoted by the Magen Avraham in Sif Gimel and the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Aleph. So what's pshat? So one possibility, somebody showed me that Rav Nemensal in his, I guess it's probably in his, the notes on his Mishnah Berurah says, no, actually, it always softens. In other words, even in a hard-boiled egg, it first softens, and in baking, it first softens, and the like. Maybe not just because anything that's hot softens before it gets hard. I don't know. Yes, Yeshua's going to answer this question.
Rashi says it gets soft and harder by the peg, right? Why is it so partially?
You didn't say by the peg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is it so partially focused on the softening? Maybe you're saying it gets softer first because that's how it's possible to get harder afterwards.
So you could try to bring the Rashi very close to the Rambam. And actually, there are some Achronim that do that. I don't think that's the simple reading, because if you're chai for hardening, why do you need it to get softer first? In other words, it definitely ends up harder than it started, right? It starts off, right, you're trying to dry this out. It gets harder. Yet, that wasn't enough to be mechayev. It's only because first it gets soft, and then it gets hard. Now, you could try to say something. You could try to say, well, that hardening is insignificant or not sufficiently significant. It's only because first it gets soft and then it gets hard that there's sufficient hardening. But where the hardening is in and of itself very significant, like in a hard-boiled egg or or the cake or the like, then you'd be chayev. And that's one way, that's going to, we'll see in a moment, the Rambam Shita, but it's going to bring Rashi closer to the Rambam. That about Rashi would agree that you could be chai for hardening as long as it's substantial hardening. After all, what difference does it make? Who cares if it's harder or softer? Right? Lamaisa, this is niskan idea or. And we know sometimes things are niskan by getting softer, like pasta. Some things are niskan by getting harder, like cake. And whatever it is, it is. And it's just that over here, like this peg was, hardness 99 first. And okay, you brings it up to 100. That's not enough to be mechayev. And this actually brings us to another issue which we're going to raise now. We're not going to analyze maybe later on today, I hope. But, the question of something that doesn't need cooking, are you chayev mishum bishul? What level of tikkun is needed? The Rambam tells us that if something doesn't need cooking at all, you're not chayev. You're not chayev. Now, a very important question, and just to note, so maybe what that's saying is that bishul requires a more substantial, significant, transformative act. So this slight hardening over here started off pretty hard, gets a little harder. That wouldn't have been enough. You could use this thing, the peg is a little better hardened, but it's good enough without it. So if that's all that happened, then that wouldn't have been sufficient, not a sufficiently transformative act, not a significant enough tikkun to be chayev. But since it's mirpa rafi v'hadar kamet, and to go from that soft state to hard state is very significant, so that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. And that's textually maybe a little more difficult, but certainly conceptually a lot easier to understand Rashi's position. And again, that would bring Rashi closer to the Rambam. And again, once we're mentioning that this Rambam's position that if you cook something that doesn't need cooking, you're potter. So a very important question to consider here, which again, we'll, I hope, talk about pretty shortly. But a very important question to consider is, what does the Rambam mean? Does the Rambam mean cooking something where you didn't make it at all better when by cooking it? So then you're potter? Or it means no, it's sort of like a bishlakum. If it's nachal kamosh yuchai, the tikkun isn't sufficiently transformative, right? Lamasho. According to the Rambam, if you bake an apple, are you chayiv, right? So, again, in the world of bishlakum, we know what's the halacha. The world of bishlakum, it's not bishlakum because nachal chayiv. Nachal chayiv. You could eat an apple raw. So, maybe you should also be pater for the Rambam. Maybe that's what he would say.
What about Michael?
But wait. So that's one way to read the Rambam. It's probably not the way the Maggid Mishnah reads the Rambam. It's not clear. If you look at the Rambam, the Maggid Mishnah says, if you look at the Maggid Mishnah, he says he learns this from Shemin. And it sounds like he's saying that there's a whole discussion in Shemin, but it sounds like, you know, if there was no tikkun at all, everybody would agree you'd be potter. And it sounds like the way the Maggid Mishnah is reading the Rambam is it's when there's no tikkun whatsoever. And that's the view of the Mishnah Berurah. It's in the Shartzion and Shin Yod Ches. That the Rambam only would potter you when it's like no tikkun. It's not kilkel either. I was going to give like an example. Like, I don't know, you cook like lettuce or cucumber, but that's probably mekalkel. You have to find something that's not improved, but not wrecked. Anyway, but others disagree with the Rambam. Maybe Rabbi Yeager, talk about that. And this, by the way, also relates to one of the great conundrums about Bishul, which we're going to talk about shortly also, I hope, today, which is a Bishul B'mayim. Because are you chai for Bishul B'mayim? So actually, the Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara doesn't say anywhere that you're chai, but the Rambam says you're chai. And if there's anybody who would expect that you'd be potter, the Gemara says it's usher. Doesn't say you're chai. Yeah?
The case of with you have the clothing?
Yeah.
Are you
high
for that?
We'll talk about that in a moment. It's a schaif. I don't think so. But double check. But anyway, it doesn't help us because if there's anyone who you'd think would potter you for water, especially if you hold nechal kamo shuchai, it would be the Rambam. The Rambam definitely says you're chayv for bishul for mayim. Right? I don't know of any reason that says you're not chayv, by the way. I was just noting that it's not explicit in the Gemara. But the Rambam says you're chayv for bishul for water. And water is nechal kamo shuchai. Like you pointed out earlier, Aaron, there's no bishul akum for water, we paskin, right? Because it's nechal chai. So the question is, why is that? Why is that? Where's the tikkun? So here too you have to figure it out. Maybe there is a tikkun, right? In the olden days, you have tainted water. When you boil it, taka, it's transformed. It's not poisonous anymore. Is that what it means? Nowadays, you wouldn't be chayiv. Or maybe the definition of bishul for mayim is different. Rambam, when describing bishul for mayim, uses the word chimum, not bishul. And what about this? So these are some very interesting questions. And we'll get back to each of these questions. But going back to the basic question that we're talking about, the Gemara, so this peg in the fire. So the Rambam says that, no, this is tes halacha vav, that there's a chiyuv, whether it's hardening or softening. As long as you've basically improved a object through the fire, that is bishul. And obviously, this makes a lot of sense. For the Rambam, it's easy to understand why you're chayev for cakes and hard-boiled eggs and the like. The Lashon of the Gemara is a little difficult because the Gemara sounds exactly like Rashi's saying. So the Lecha Mishnah gives an answer. He says the Gemara's kasha was, since we're talking about a peg, that there isn't a shinoi. You're just being mechazko yosar li de'aish. So why should you be chayev? And the chiddush is, like we said, that before it becomes hard, it becomes soft, and therefore you could be chayev on the kishui that comes after the refoy. Right? Now, we suggested before, Rashi himself might even mean something similar to that. Um, so, um, So it's possible there's not so much of machlokas. The point that the Gemara is saying, according to the Rambam, is that as long as it's a transformative act, then you're chayev. That could be softening or hardening, but it has to be significant. And that's the Kamash Malan of the Gemara, that because it softens before it hardens, that's a transformative act. Yeah?
I think there might be Medik and Rashi that can answer this question. That in Rashi, they mean to say that that the peg hardens because the moisture leaves the peg.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's soft and things. That's not cooking. That just water.
That's evaporation.
Whatever, yeah.
So you need the softening for a different reason.
In the
softening is the bishul. Hardening could be bishul. It's just not bishul in this case. Because the hardening is evaporation. Evaporation isn't bishul. That's what you're saying.
I think
it's sort of an interesting question. When you bake, is that... it's not just evaporation. You don't get it back because it can't go back in. No, is the hardening, and I don't know the answer, I'm saying, is the process of hardening the peg different than hardening a cake? What happens? This is, I don't know the chemistry.
You soak a peg again, I wouldn't go back inside.
Well,
that's arrive at the cake, but the peg would actually.
Right, that's the question. Yeah.
Should I still stay away from the begadim?
Yeah. Oh, we'll take one higher on begadim. We'll get there 1 second, then he'll tell me. So, there is a third interpretation of this gemara. Again, so far we have Rashi and the Rambam. We'll say the Rashi kapshuto, though maybe the pshuto is wrong, is bishul involves softening. The Rambam says bishul involves either hardening or softening. The Mordechai, it's in Taf Lamed Gimel, and he says a very interesting question. He says that the bishul here is in the chimum of the water that's in the yaseid. In other words, the absorbed water. That's where the bishul is. So he says, based off this gemara, you see something interesting. Let's say you're drying your clothing. You put your clothing in a dryer on Shabbos. So besides there being a chiyav alts melabein, there's also a chiyav alts bishul because you're being mevashel the absorbed water, right?
Rashi said,
read me the lesson of Rashi.
I did home ha'ur v'amayin shebesocho yotzin lach shedetzer meim ha'kamet miskasha b'chi rafi b'resha, meaning before it leaves, ha'vi b'shul.
No, so he's saying the opposite.
He's saying the peg is...
He's saying that the bishul here is the bishul of the water in the peg.
As opposed to the...
Now... Oh, so that's a very good question. We're going to ask that in a second. So, but before we just get there, just to spell it out, right? So he's saying the same thing is happening with the peg as with your shirt, right? How do you harden a peg? By removing the water from the peg. How do you remove the water from the peg? You steam it out through the fire. That's the softening that the Gemara is referring to. Likewise, how do you dry a shirt? You steam it out through fire. And therefore, they should both be equally bishul. Now, Agav, the notion of steaming to dry always seemed to me very strange until recently. Two people pointed out to me that they have these single washer dryers. In other words, not like most people have two separate units. And how does the washer dry? Through steam. It's a fascinating thing. In other words, you think like steam is the opposite of drying because it's wet, but it doesn't. You could steam dry something. It's very cool, actually. Like, if you take something out and it's hot, even though it's hot, it doesn't matter. So it dries almost instantly afterwards, even though it's actually hot, wet when you take it out of the dryer. So you could use steam to dry. That's sort of what this Mordechai reminded me of. Anyway, now, so your kasha is, so there's sort of, first of all, it's a darshei miskaven, right? So you say, okay, it's a psik reisha, denichalai, fine, that I could understand. But Yeshua's question is a more fundamental question, which is, it's ein tzricha legufa, right? But you don't have to say that, because you could say this is and this gets back to our old question we've seen so many times, right? Maybe this is the tikkun of the yaseid, or the tikkun of the baguette, or the like, and we'll look at it that way. The way in which you dry this is by steaming out the absorbed water.
Being defined visualized in water.
Right. Anyway, so this Magen Avraham, this Mordechai is actually quoted elsewhere. We'll get to it when we get back to Malabein. But as I said, take a look at the how do we paskin on the Shaila? So in terms of Hilchos Bishul, at the very least, we basically accept the view of the Rambam. If you look at the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah, they both quote the lashon of the Rambam, namely that Bishul is either through, when you're masakin something through heat, either hardening or softening. Whatever Rashi holds, and Rashi, as we said, is somewhat unclear, but l'halacha, it doesn't really matter to us. Because as long as there's some type of significant tikkun through heat, whether it's the tikkun is hardening or the tikkun is softening, l'maisa, we say you are chayv. Okay. So, now one very interesting thing here, which, yes.
And by water, when it's not hardening it, what's happening
here? So, okay, we're going to wait for water, we'll talk about water. Water has a number of problems.
I love the water. I'm saying anything which is not being hardened or softened. Even like a lot of food, I eat a pasta which is already cooked. It's not getting hotter or softer.
That's bishul acha bishul. Maybe you're not. That's mutter taka. It's
probably. Why would it even be bishul in the first place? Why is it even a shayla acha bishul?
Well,
it's not getting hotter or softer, it's just getting hotter.
But it gets harder. I mean, if it's in water, so then you're cooking water. If it's not in water, then taka gets hot, it gets harder.
No. In other words, that's going to be the question. Question is, and again, that's why I said we're going to wait for water. Water, l'chora, you're correct, is nothing more than chimum, right? All that is. The only thing that changed is now it is change in temperature. So that's problematic on a number of levels. Number one, in terms of hardening or softening, that's sort of the smaller problem. Number two is there's no tikkun, right? So we're going to wait there. And the question is going to be...
Why is it no tikkun?
This is hot. Well, so that's the question. Is that a tikkun? In other words, you haven't changed anything. Seemingly, it's not transformative other than the temperature, right? Especially if you hold that something that doesn't need cooking is not chayv mishum bishul, like the Rambam says, but yet the Rambam also says you're chayv for water. So that's a very important question. We're going to best get there. Just one more today, I hope. One more sort of parenthetical point that comes up from this sugya that all the Rishonim deal with, Tosos and Shabbos, all the Rishonim and Shabbos, also all the Rishonim and Avodah Zarah, Lamed Chas Madala, from where Tosos asked, which is that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, basically... Oh, you guys learned this? Mm-hmm. Nicole? Oh, Gevaldik. So then we should talk about it. At least a little bit. Good. Now I have no excuse. So the Gemara in Lamed Chas Madala Aleph by Bishul Akum, Mamish says the exact opposite of our Gemara, seemingly, right? The Gemara says, I think it's Rav Chanan, Bar Ami, Amar Rav Pedas, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hayov Kochavim Decharech Reisha, Shari Lamechel Minei, Afil Lamechel, fine. Okay, the basic point is, of that context of that Gemara, is that you only have Bishul Akum when the guy is Mechavim for Bishul, as opposed to being Mechavim for something else. Good. Amar Vina, Hilkach, Hayov Kochavim, Deshada Sechsala Suna. Right, seemingly mamish the same thing as we're talking about. The kavar ba kara Yisrael kara me kara. So basically, the guy's trying to dry out his yaseid, and unbeknownst to him, maybe even benounced, but let's just say for now, unbeknownst to him, buried here is a Jewish gourd, and I didn't know gourds could be Jewish. a Jew's gourd, and so basically, he cooked the gourd. Without intention to cook the gourd, he just had intention to dry out his peg. So it's mutter, pshita. No, ma'u d'seimel of shulei mana kamachavein, kamash malan l'shurei mana kamachavein. Sounds like it's saying, if I didn't know anything else, is that if we looked at peg hardening as bishul, as bishul amana, then the guy was mechavin for bishul, and memela the Jewish gourd is usher. But since he's not mechavin for bishul, he's mechavin for lishurei mana, then it's okay. In other words, this isn't bishul. So this is, again, seemingly the exact opposite of our Gemara. So Tosfos asked this question. Now, we'll look at the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, because he says something even more remarkable. It's not necessarily in our Tosfos. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says like this. Listen carefully. Haiman d'sher zuchza hainu l'inyan Shabbos. Da'afal gav d'lishurei mana kamechavein mikol makom hu mevashel k'tzas v'gam lo'oso bishul garua hu miskavein v'gabe Shabbos hechmiru l'hachshivo aval inyan bishul akom lo'chashiv v'inu chayv ha'chis kavein l'bishul gamar. How do you translate, Yeshua, that line? V'gabe Shabbos hechmiru. So, hechmiru, who's the plural?
Hashem.
Uh-oh.
Hashem is
bigger. Hechmiru.
So, you might be forced to say that. And the reason why Yeshua is trying to say this, very dochak pshat in the Gemara, he thinks this is Bereishis Perek Aleph, is because the Gemara in Shabbos says the word chayev. So usually, even though chmiru sounds like plural, sounds like chachamim, Yeshua is saying, ah, lo yitachin, it says chayev. So therefore, must be lav dafka. Okay, you'll say one of your various theories as to how to lav dafka. So, and that might be the emes d'ka pshat. I wonder if Tosfos is thinking that actually, if we read it very literally, that it's only d'rabbanan. He's saying, this bishul d'rabbanan, we're machmir d'rabbanan for Shabbos, we're makel by bishul akum, like all the other kulas that we have for bishul akum, especially Tosfos. He says, achmir. And even though the Gemara says chayiv, we've already seen places where Tosfos thinks that chayiv isn't chayiv. Chayiv means chayiv d'rabbanan. Right? We've always noted that Rambam is consistent. Anytime the Gemara says chayiv, it means chayiv. Other Rishonim, including Rashi and Tosfos, chayiv usually means chayiv. Chayiv doesn't always mean chayiv chatas. It means chayiv d'rabbanan. So it's an interesting hara. It could be that that more likely your pshat is correct. The Ritva, though, in Shabbos over here, certainly makes that point. He doesn't say, even if Tosfos means d'rabbanan, he sort of says what you'd expect Tosfos to say, which is, and maybe what Tosfos does mean, he's actually quoting Tosfos. He says, Tirtzu b'Tosfos, this is Avan in Tosfos. Devadi b'sichta zu shtei malachos yishpa, b'shulei mana kad rafui mirapev, shurei mana kad kamet, ulinyan Shabbos ro'i l'chayiv mishum demivashel, sh'av l'vashel miskavein, t'lo'ashar l'shurei ala b'hachi, aval hasem l'inyan b'shulei gayim d'rabbanan, kevin d'ikr kavanasa l'shurei mana hu, in lahachmir v'lasor, shafilu kishenis kavin lavashel l'chumrahu, lasor shalon is kavin lavashel, tavshel shal Yisrael. In other words, we're makel because it's mishalakam. The Ramban in Shabbos has a very interesting idea. He says that the reason why you're chayev in Shabbos is because it's psik resha, and mishalakam, there is no psik resha. In other words, he's saying, look, the Gemara in both Gemaras are totally correct. Yeah. That's exactly the way he's reading the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says you're not mechavin for bishul, right? Which is true. But you are mevashel, which is also true. Right? They're both true. You are mevashel, you're not mechavin for bishul. Right? Listen to what he says. V'yesh lomer. Da'af al ga'ah, this is the Ramban. Chidushim ein dalim beis. V'yesh lomer. Da'af al ga'av di'iu mechavin l'shura mana. Kevin di'af sh'alim kein rafi me'kara. Gavi Shabbos chayev di'mod reb shimim. Sik reish v'lo yamos. Fascinating, right? There's no such thing as psik resha for mishalakum. There is psik resha for here. Now, it's interesting to Derech Agav Hara, which is when we were talking about the Sugya Psikresha, we talked about are you Mechavin or not, right? The famous Chakir of Rabbi Chanan and the like. So, sounds like from the Ramban's over here saying that you aren't Mechavin. You're Chayv on Shabbos anyway. In other words, he's saying the Gemara on Shabbos and Avodah Zarah says you're not Mechavin. It's Psikresha, you're not Mechavin. You're still Chayv. Okay. Now, Rashi himself in Avodah Zarah says something a little different. He says, Kamash Malan, Dein Bishal B'Kalim. So what does that mean exactly? Sounds like it's saying there's no Bishal at all in Kalim, but that's against our Sugya, unless he's saying that there's no Bishal Akum when it comes to Kalim. Maybe that's because it's not Shai Chasnas, or Shem Yarev Vodavar Tame, or the like. So it's telling us a different gader and bishul. Anyhow, so that's sort of another interesting point, which maybe is sort of stick in terms of Ol Shabbos, and maybe not. Okay, so let's start talking about bishul. We're going to go by the clock on this thing, not by the regular clock. It's only 56 minutes, so it's apparently 12:55. Okay. Now, but we know that Aaron has bylaws on ending this year whenever he sees fit. So it doesn't really matter what I think anymore. Okay, so let's turn to Sif Gimel, where we really get started. So what is the definition of Bishul? So I would have thought that any time you transform something through heat, you improve something through heat, that's Bishul. We see, though, that that's not so true, because the Gemara Lamed Chesma Beis basically tells us that Bishul B'chama is not Chayev, and actually it's not even Aser. There's a Machlokas Tanoim by Toldos Chama. Rabbi Yossi says Toldos Chama is Mutter. The Chachamim say Toldos Chama is Aser Midirabanan Gzera Mishum Bishul Be'or. But basically what the Gemara concludes is like this. Bishul Be'or is deraisa, and even toldos or is deraisa. That's why if you're megalgel the egg, right, bishul for egg is called megalgel, right? So Rashi says, everybody knows? Yeah, you want to know whether an egg is cooked or raw. So you spin it, and it depends if it wobbles or not. If it wobbles, you know it's raw, because it's bouncing around inside. And if it's smooth, that's why it's called megalgel, that's what Rashi says. Anyway, so you got cooking advice also from Rashi. So, anyway, not just chemistry advice. So if it's or even told us or, like putting it next to something that was heated by the fire, so that is chayev. Midoraisa, everybody agrees chama. If you cook in the sun, that's mutter. And there's a machlokas, whether they asked midrabanan toldos chama atu toldos or. In other words, something that was heated by the sun is now very hot, like a sudr, I don't know, black sudr. So now, if you cook your egg in your black sudr, what's the halacha? So according to Rabbi Yossi Mutter, why should it be asr? Rabbanan say no. Nobody knows if the sudr was heated by the sun or by the stove or the like. So here goes there toldos chama atu toldos or. Great, that's the Gemara. So, the obvious question is, let's start with Bishul B'chama. So why should Bishul B'chama be mutter? In other words, why isn't it Aser Midrabanan? So, or why isn't it Chayev, I guess. Start, why isn't it Chayev? So Rashi says, like this, De'ein derech Bishul B'kach, B'chama be'or lo mechlefa de'ligzer ha'atua. So told us Chama is not derech bishul, so that's presumably both the reason why you're not chayv midaraisa, you're not even aser midirabanan. So the simple reading of Rashi is it's a shinui. So that's why you're not chayv. No, why it's not deraisa because it's a shinui. Nobody normally cooks in the sun, and it's not. And then apparently this is a shinui when you use chama that's not even aser midirabanan. Now you have to ask, why isn't it Aser Midrabanan, Right? Usually we know that at least there's an Issur D'Rabbanan for Shinoi. So there's a very famous Iglei Tal about this. He uses, this Iglei Tal comes up in a half dozen Melachos. It's in Ofa, it's Os Mem Dalet, but he says it elsewhere. It's a very interesting theory. He says that there's two types of Shinoyim. One is a Shinoi that is in the output, and one is simply a Shinoi in the Maisa. And there's a difference between Shabbos and Kol HaTar Kula. When it comes to Kol HaTar Kula, we also have a concept of Shinoi, but that's only when the Shinoi affects the output. If it's just a Shinoi in the process, you do the process in an unusual way, but the output, the product, is totally the same as if you had done it in a normal way. So then, of course, the Kol HaTar Kula is not Aser. Sorry. It's not a Shinoi. Shabbos, though, even that's a Shinoi. That's part of Melechus Melchaves Aser Torah. So even if the output is totally normal, but if the process is abnormal, then it's Aser, then it's Potter. But in that case, they made it Aser. We've talked about this before, that this is an idea that the Iglei Tal says in a number of places, and it's probably usually true in a straightforward way. I'm not saying he's wrong, but sometimes it's a little bit of a fetch. But he has a theory that things that are a p'tur klali meaning kol tar kula, so then they're not even asur midrabanan. L'mashal, davshin miskavein. Davshin miskavein is pater in kol tar kula, it's pater in Shabbos. It's not only pater, but it's mutter, because it's klali. Whereas something that is unique to Shabbos, like let's say in Inishrich L'gufa, is asur at least midrabanan on Shabbos. So if the Shinoi here is in the output, so then that's a p'tur, we call it a p'tur, but it's a p'tur, it's a parsha, it's a din, that's true b'chol tar kula. So therefore it's going to be mutter on Shabbos. If it's a, when do we find that a Shinoi is also midrabanan? And that's only when it's a Shinoi in the process and not a Shinoi in the output. Now you'll say, one second, are you allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos, assuming you're righty? And she says, no, it's Issur D'Rabbanan. But why? Why? It's like, if you write with your left hand, it's terrible.
Yeah, but the chi was not fancy writing.
So that's the, but even if it's not even regular writing, right, it's lower quality. I would say that anytime I write with my, I'm a lefty, so anytime I write with my right hand, it would be, it's a Shinoi in the process and in the output. But the answer is no. The answer is, he gives this example himself, and the answer is that's mikra. It's not necessarily the case. It could be that you'd still be potter on Shabbos, assuming you're not ambidextrous, even if you have a perfect product. Maybe if I write slow enough and carefully enough with my right hand, I can make it just as good as my left hand. And still I'll be potter. So the reason why I'm potter is because of the process. And likewise, you know, if I wrote with my left hand and it's messy, I'm chayev, right? So it's a shinoi in the process, and therefore it's asur midrabanan. But whenever you have a shinoi in the output, and that's what he says is true for Bishul B'chama. That's why he says Bishul B'chama is true B'chol Tar Kula. For example, in other halachos, and we'll talk about these in a moment, where there's a din Bishul, B'chama doesn't count as Bishul. Maybe Karban Pesach within the Isser of Bishul.
What's the difference now?
So that's, he doesn't tell you. Well, he does tell you. He tells you something, it just doesn't make sense. But he says, because shvach etzim bepas. So apparently the fuel used has a effect on the output. So I was once I gave a shiur on this many years ago in Las Vegas. And so I mentioned this Iglei Tal. Really, I was a Bishul shiur, but I talked about this. And I said, is there anybody who thinks is there a difference in output? Because I wouldn't have thought there's any difference. Like something is cooked is cooked. So he like has a halachic man. So shvach eitz mepas. But like, would I see a difference? So there is a fellow in the audience who I'd known from Wales before, Josh Pitterman, who is an expert in physics and chemistry and the like, a real scientist, and he started explaining to me how there's a difference. I don't understand it. I still don't remember what he said. But he was arguing that convection and conduction and this, and I don't remember all these words, but he was arguing that, yeah, if you did Bishul B'chama, that at least some of the time, or conceivably, or the like, it could have an effect on the output. Okay, so that's the mahalich of the Igle Tal, and what we'll do is as we go through more melachos, you know, where we should think about this question, you know, is this a chiluk that really holds up? Now, the point though is that he's understanding Rashi as basically when he says la dech bishul b'chachol is kapshuto, means a shinoi, unusual way. Rav Moshe also understands Rashi as a shinoi. It's Or Chaim, Chelo Gimel, Simon and Beis.
The microwaves,
yeah. So he also understands Rashi as a shinoi. And he says, Memela. Rashi's saying, why are you potter? Because it's abnormal to cook in the sun. So if it would become normal, then you'd be chayv. So one nafkamina about this, which we'll talk about more in a couple minutes, is the Dud Shemesh in Eretz Yisrael, where it is normal to cook water through the sun, and therefore be chayev. And another application that where Rav Moshe was talking about here was microwaves. Rav Moshe was had a lot of forethought. He knew where technology was heading. Veharaya, you know, his whole tshuva about Shabbos clocks, which everybody said, oh, look what he predicted never happened, is mamish happening. All these things automated, like, you know, you walk into your house and it turns on the lights and it starts making your toast and it does this and that and coffee and, it, you know, smart house. That's like more or less what, you know, Moshe was concerned about. Anyway, here he says the same thing. He says, microwaves, you're chayev, it's normal. You'll tell me it's not normal. It's not normal yet. But, you know, wait another 10 or 20 years when microwaves go down in price and it'll become normal. And he's right. Now it's totally normal to cook with a microwave. We don't cook that much things with a microwave. Microwaves are usually used for reheating. You can cook some things, but certainly cook water, right? It's a very normal thing to do. You want a cup of coffee, you put the water in the microwave and you heat it up.
Reheating must be awesome. Why would you heat it with
a... What?
Reheating would also be
no, because reheating, you could say, is not bishul. It's, well, if we ain't bishul, I'm bishul.
We'll get there.
But I'm saying there is bishul.
You would machbe even before being regular microwaves?
Don't drain me a cup, because if not today, tomorrow. That's what he's saying. Like, you know. And but to me, saying even today, because he's saying it's normal, it's just the only reason why people don't have it yet is because they're expensive.
By Kosim in Arvia.
Right. He says, Ukshiyu mitsuyim vada yishtamshu behem. Good, fine. Now, this has nothing to do with Igle Tal, though. Now, she's explaining Rashi in the same way that Rashi talking about a shinoi, but totally different than Igle Tal, because there's nothing to do with the totsah. It's only process, and once the process becomes normal, it's going to be chayev. And if it becomes normal to cook with the sun, then you'll be chayev. I asked this Joshua Pitterman whether he thought there's a microwave is also shino in the totsah. What would the Igle Tal say about that? So he said there would be.
I think that's
also
caution, no?
Since I don't know what it means by sun, I can't defy it. But
no, I'm saying that, like, when you're heating, like, if
yeah,
you,
you're saying it's even
clear that, like, if you reheat pizza, let's say, in like an oven,
it's much different than when you heat it in your microwave. When you heat it in your microwave, it turns into like mush. And, you know,
right, but the fact that there's sometimes differences isn't, you know, what about water?
Okay.
Anyway, so that's that. Now, according to Rav Moshe, you know, why is it that it's not Aser Midrabbanan here? So, as we've already seen, it's not Pashut. And we've already seen a number of cases where things seem to be Shinoi and they were Matirit. And different factors might be relevant.
Lush.
You know, when Lush we talked about the need, maybe. When we talked about Borer, at least to some degree, it sounded like there might be a chiluk, you know, Rashi said ein derech borerin, and maybe a certain type of shinoi is so fundamental, it's not domet to the malacha, and it's not even aser midrabanan, and there's what to talk about there, but I don't want to go there now. Okay, so those are that's the first two malachim. However, there's another malach that we could say, and this is the approach of Rishon Zalman Arbach, and maybe there's some diukim in Rishonim this way. There's a Meiri in Psachim and Aleph, who says Ein Bishul Mechayev El B'Toldos Ha'esh. The Rambam mentions Esh. The Mabit in the Kiryas Sefer and Perek Tes certainly emphasizes Esh. This might relate to the Yerushalmi of Or Mahalich Tachtav, but it might not. We're going to spend time in that Yerushalmi. For the Chevra who didn't learn Yarmideya last year, the guys who learned Yarmideya last year, I'm sure, remember both of these Yerushalmis from Shabbos. But in the event that you didn't, so you have to make sure to do those Yerushalmis very well, and the Ramban and the Avodah Zarah and the like. But anyway, but we're going to call it Rishon Zalman's Malach. Rishon Zalman's Malach is that the reason my son is Potter, and even Mutter, is because you need a fire for Bishul. Bishul doesn't mean transforming through heat, it means transforming through fire. That's why there's a tzad maybe even told us Ha'esh is in Chayev. No, told us Ha'esh is still Shayach to the fire, because it was heated by the fire. But you need there to be a fire. No fire, then you're a potter. This is Shmir Shavs Kilchasa. You could also look at Milcha Shlomo, Chelak Aleph Simon Yud Beis, Ha'ar Avav, Zion, 7. It's a very important tshuva. That's a... Now...
So then why would you just call Toldos Chacham and Toldos
Ha'esh? Now, let me explain. This is very important. I mean, we'll get there. It's a good question. Now, it's a good question. We'll get there. Now, why wouldn't you learn like Rashi, right? In other words, Rashi is Pasha. Rashi is L'chor B'Furish against Rishlomo Zalman. Rishlomo Zalman has a kvetch to deal with Rashi. You could take a look there. But, okay, why does he need a kvetch, right? Rashi says, very simple, Shinoi, right? Why isn't he not learning like Rav Moshe, Dikle Tal, and the like? The answer is very simple. Because the Gemara is Mamish against Rav Moshe and Dikle Tal, but we'll call it Rav Moshe. Why? The Gemara later on has a Shaila about the Silon. If you weren't confused yet, right? The Silon, this really cool, the pipe device that automatic water heater using Chametz Beria and the like. Good. So the Gemara brings this up in the discussion between the Chachamim and Reb Yossi. Right? At least this is Reb Yossi's teaching in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a raya for the Rabbanon that told us Cham is Aser because of the story of the Silon, where they basically were mamshech water with Chametz Beria to heat it up. And the Rabbanan are basically saying, look, Chamei Tveria are Toldos Chama. Why? The Pashup Shat is, you know, they thought that somehow or another the sun is what heats up the water underneath the earth. You know, maybe it relates to the Gemara Pesachim about where the sun goes at night. I don't know exactly. But we'll look at a different Mahalich. He says that. I'll tell you his Mahalich in this in a second, I think, if I remember correctly. But without thinking too much about the science for the moment, the Gemara, the Rabbanan assume that Chamei Tveria are Toldos Chama. So you have a raya from the Mishnah, from that story, that we're machmir for Toldos Chama, right? And what does Rabbi Yossi say back? Nah! Don't bring me a raya from there. Chamei Tveria are what? Toldos Ha'esh! Because everybody knows. It's Pischa de Gehenim. The fire of Gehenna, the fire in the middle of the world, is what heats up the hot springs. That's what heats up. That's what makes the geysers. Everybody knows that. That's not chama. That is or. Adkan Hagemar. Sounds like there's a machlokas about this. I think right away, this in terms of your question isn't the fire sun also fire? So I think Ray Willig says that the machlokas is, it's not like a Matzias machlokas. He said that the machlokas is, what's the halacha? Does fire need to be fire made by man? So that's the Rabbanan's opinion. So a natural fire, that's whether it's the sun or the fire in the center of the earth, the lava, so that's natural fire. It's not human made. So that has, they're the same. In other words, it's not the pshat that the sun heats up the water underground. The pshat is that that it's considered chama, toldos chama, because the ptur is for any type of non-human created fire. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, the difference is whether the fire's on this world or not. Therefore, it's considered toldos ha'esh. Anyway, however you explain the machlokas. There's, just 1 second, so there's a machlokas over here, right? Whether it's chama or esh. Now, let's try to understand this a little bit. So, are we talking about, is it normal to use chama tveria or not? Right? If it's abnormal to use chama tveria, so who cares? You're going to be potter either way. Right? And if it's normal to use chama tveria, then who cares? You're going to be chayv either way. What room is there for machloikas, whether it's told us chama or told us haish? Right? According to Rav Moshe, there's only one question I care about, and that is this normal or not? So either it's normal to cook using chama tveria, like in Iceland, or it's abnormal, right? But what room is there for machlokas? But if you understand that, no, the reason why chama is potter is because you need esh. So now we can understand that there's a shaila. How do you look at this, right? Is this esh or is it not esh? The fires of Gehenna are definitely esh. Okay, again, how you want to understand the machlokas tanaim, you want to kipshuto or kari, well, it doesn't really matter for our purposes. The point is that we need esh, and we're declaring over here, is there esh or not, right? So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's raya number one. Raya number two, and again, maybe you could answer it from Rav Moshe, but it's a very strong, strong raya. He brings three more rayas. He says that we find in at least three other places in Shas where we say that there's a need for fire or lack of fire in the context of Bishul slash Afiyah is relevant. And Shinoi, like the way Rav Moshe says it, doesn't really seem to make any sense over there. For example, you find this by Challah, by matzah, and by Karban Pesach. So let's say by challah. The halacha is that if you cooked bread in the sun, you're potter from challah. Right? So that's because afiyah requires a fire. This isn't a fire. Right? So if you learn like me, Rav Shlomo Zalman, it makes a lot of sense because there's a requirement for fire. If you learn, if you love derech mishul b'kach, why is that relevant? So Ray Willick said, Rav Moshe would say, no, you need lechem for to be chayv and challah. Likewise, he says, for matzah, the halacha is you need fire. You make matzah in the sun, it's no good. For a little same answer, lechem oni, you need lechem. Pesach, the halacha is that by carbon Pesach, it's also not considered roasting. And answer is there. It says sliesh, dafka esh. In other words, you hold like Rav Moshe, you have to say, yeah, like every time where we make this chiluk, you're going to have to come up with some type of gzeres hakasav. Anyway, based off of this, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that presumably there's not going to be an issur d'oraisa for a dud shemesh, We'll talk about whether there's an issue to Rabbanan in a moment. But likewise, let's say you have to cook things for a cholim in a hospital. Going back to really this issue around cholos sheish b'sakana today, I think. So obviously, we Ashkenazim, try to be memait when we can, especially if you could prepare in advance. So he said, look, if you're going to need to do this, use a microwave or something like that, because it's not going to, as normal as it is, it's not going to be an issur deraisa. In fact, in this note 6 over there, he writes about an interesting conversation he had with the Chazon Ish, sort of a telling conversation. So he says that, let's say, how are you going to heat up water for cholim in the hospital if you need to? So this is pre-microwave, right? He had this eitzah. So you could say, use a coil, an immersion heater, but that might not work because the heating up the metal would be a problem. So he had a chap. He said, this is what you should do. You should just use, you should basically electrocute the water. And anyway, you're in the hospital, so if you mess up, it's not far to the emergency room. Right? In other words, make the water into a circuit, right? Take two wires, live wires, and put them into the water, and that'll heat up the water. And don't tell me there's any age. It's not like the immersion heater, because there's no fire anywhere. There's no metal coil that's getting hot. And yet it'll heat up the water. So he suggested this to the Chazon Ish as an eitzah for heating up for the cholim. So the Chazon Ish says that no, you're still chayev. Somehow or another, the electricity should be seen as a fire, as a derivative from fire, that current that's passing through the two wires. So Shlomo Zalman said, I said to him, you need to be a Rishon to say that. So the Chazon Ish said back to him, no, you don't need to be a Rashba to say this. It's so obvious. So that's ad kan their conversation. So it's in the Minchas Shlomo. He writes it down. So b'kitzer, again, we have three mahalchim, how to treat the nature of the p'tur chama. And again, the two nafkaminas we are considering is a duchamesh and a microwave. And the Igle Tal says it's a shinoi in the totzah. That's a very nice lumdish pshat, not so pashat in the mitziyistik pshat. We have the Igros Moshe, who says l'maisa tali in what's normal or not. And the difficulty with that, among other things, is the Gemara, which the machlokas b'chametz tveri, and we have Shlomo Zalman Arbach, which says there's a din eish. Now, just one more. Why? What about the chemesh l'maisa? So we don't have time now because everybody passing shear is over. But it's not so common in America, but there's a couple of factors. According to Rav Moshe, you're dealing with an issur deraisa. Let's say you don't accept Rav Moshe. There are a couple of isurim derabanan that might be relevant. Number one is it's not clear if it's chama or toldos chama. The reason why is basically the way it works is there's this black sheet, right, that absorbs heat. And then there are the water goes through very thin coils. And that way it easily could absorb the heat. So, right, and the sun hits the black thing.
Coils or pipes?
Pipes. So now, it is taking a direct hit from the sun, so maybe you'll say it's chama, but it might also be told as chama, because it wouldn't be very effective without that black sheet behind it that's absorbing all the heat. So do you look at it as chama or toldos chama? Not clear. Another problem is that then it goes from those pipes into a tank, and then new cold water goes into the tank. In other words, there is a tank of hot water. So the cold water will be heat. That water, that even if you hold that the Dut Shemesh is pure chama, not toldos chama, but now it's going to touch the cold water and heat up the cold water, the new cold water. The water that's heated up by the Dut Shemesh is certainly toldos chama, right? And so you have a problem there. That would be a bishul issue. In other words, we're going to talk about this some other time, I guess, not today, but we're going to talk a lot about the issue with our hot water heaters in our house. In America, we don't have any Dut Shemeshes. People clare about, is it mutter or not? So people, I think, mistakenly think that the real issue is the havara of the boiler, you know. And that's not a big issue. That might be an issue, but that's a smaller issue maybe. That's grammar or the like. It's on the thermostat. We talked about thermostats. Thermostats, you know, aren't so pasha to be aser. We talked about grama, psikresha begrama, and the like. The bigger problem with the boilers, and this is a problem most of the time, even in big buildings, apartment buildings, where, again, the other issue is less of an issue, is that when you take out, when I draw out hot water from my tap, cold water goes in immediately and presumably directly. So if I open up my tap water and take out a cup of hot water, so enters a cup of cold water into the boiler. And even if the boiler's off, there's no fire. That's bishul, right? When you put cold water into a kli rishon, shelo gabei esh, that's chayev. And although you could try to make a case that it's grama, it's not a simple case. Maybe it's similar to that. It's a hard case to make that that's grama. Even grama might be aser. But it's hard because it's pretty much direct. And it might get into that child of grammas. So that same issue, which is the primary issue on a d'oraisa level when it comes to regular boilers, is also true to some degree on a d'rabanan level when it comes to the dud shemesh. There were poskim that are makel. There are poskim that say it's nesed d'oraisa. There are poskim that say it's nesed d'rabanan. There are poskim that say even if it's not nesed d'rabanan, it's a bad idea to do because people don't know the difference and they might have their boilers on and the like. And therefore, you shouldn't do it. L'maisa, it shouldn't be done. It shouldn't. One should be machmir. Okay, sorry for going so long. We'll pick up Ezra Hashem on Wednesday.